B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Chavov. We're going to start in the middle of the Amud where the two dots, Choylim u'mashamshehem. We saw in the Mishnah, in the middle part of the Mishnah, on Daf Chav Hei Amud Aleph, Choylim u'mashamshehem, the sick people and those who are attending to them, Pturim min ha-Sukkah. They're exempt from Sukkah, says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Choyle she'omru, this Choyle, the sick person that we said is exempt from Sukkah, because he will exert a lot of energy and effort to go into the sukkah, or it's the atmosphere in the sukkah, if it's the cold or the heat, is going to aggravate his already fragile state of health. Then loy chayle sheyesh bo sakana, we're not just talking about a chayle who is dangerously ill, that we move aside and override almost every mitzvah in the Torah to preserve his life. And afilu chayle shein bo sakana, even a sick person who's not in danger, afilu chosh be'inov, even if he's just got pain in his eye, afilu chosh b'roishoy, or if he's got pain in his head, that even them, they are exempt from the sukkah. That's the chayla. The attendants are exempt because they're doing the mitzvah, that oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah, they're doing the mitzvah of bikur chaylim. Omer b'shimon ben Gamliel, pam achas, b'shimon ben Gamliel said that once, chashti b'einai b'kisri, when I was in Kisari, then my eyes were hurting me, v'hitir Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yosi bar Chalafta, he permitted me, b'ribi, and this Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta, he was a leader of the generation, he was the most wise and sharp in the generation, and he permitted me, Lishon, to sleep, and Niu Mashamshai, me and those who are attending to me, Chutz LeSukkah, outside the Sukkah. Rav, Shora L'Rav Acha Bardula, Rav allowed Rav Acha Bardula L'Magna to sleep, B'Kilta, in a canopy, B'Sukkah, inside the Sukkah, even though the canopy had a roof, and even though it was 10 Tvachim, high, and we've already discussed this at length on Daf Yud, that it's as if you're sleeping outside the sukkah. He said it was okay for him to sleep in this canopy, Bishumboki, because there was some flying insects, maybe mosquitoes, maybe flies, that were disturbing him in the sukkah, and therefore he was allowed to sleep inside this canopy, even though, for all intents and purposes, it's as if he was outside the sukkah. Rava Sharolei L'Rav Acha Bar Ada, Rava allowed Rav Acha bar Ada l'migna to sleep bar mi metalalta outside the sukkah mishum sircha de gargishta, because of the bad smell of the white sand that they would plaster the floor of the sukkah with, and it was disturbing him. Rava l'tame, and this is Rava who just allowed Rav Acha bar Ada to sleep outside the sukkah. Rava had this opinion, d'omar Rava mitztair, anybody who the sukkah itself is causing him discomfort, Potter min ha-sukkah, is exempt from being in the sukkah. And here you have the floor of the sukkah, the smell of the sand on the floor of the sukkah that was causing him distress, and therefore he was exempt from sukkah. Asks the Gemara, V'anan t'nan, did we not learn in the Mishnah, Choylin u'mashamshehem p'turim min ha-sukkah, that only people who are sick are exempt from sukkah. Choyla in, people who are sick, mitztair, but just people who are otherwise just having a discomfort in the sukkah, loy, who says that they're exempt from sukkah? Omri, so they explained that you have to read into the Mishnah as follows. Choyle, a sick person, hu umashamshav pturim. The reason that the Mishnah speaks about the sick people is because only regarding the sick people, not only is the sick person exempt from sukkah, but those who are attending to him are also exempt. But mitztair, for somebody who's just a mitztair, who's just discomfort in the sukkah, hu potur, he is exempt from sukkah. Meshamshav, but the people attending to him, loy, because he's not a chayla, so they're not doing bikur chaylim, so there's no reason to exempt the attendants from sukkah. Continues the Gemara, and this takes us to the final statement in the Mishnah, Daf Chofei Amud Aleph, Oichlin v'shoysin arai chutz l'sukkah, to eat and drink, a temporary type of eating and drinking, one is allowed to do outside the sukkah. Oichlin v'shoysin arai chutz l'sukkah, says the Gemara, v'kamo achilas arai, how much does a person have to eat, and it's still considered an achilas arai, that it's as if it's a temporary type of eating, it's not called sitting down for a meal, it's not a permanent and fixed type of eating. Omer of Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Tarti Oitlas Bei is two or three egg size of bread, of food, which is what a person will typically put into his mouth with two or three bites. In two or three mouthfuls. We know that a mouthful is an egg. This is a Gemara in Yuma. We learned on Daf Pei. Omale Abaye. Abaye argued with Rav Yosef and said, we often see sagi leil inish that b'hochi, that it's enough for a person to eat two or three mouthfuls, v'havale sudas keva, and it's considered a proper meal. And he's satisfied with that. So how can you say that even two or three mouthfuls is, and he's still exempt from sukkah? Elo amar Abaye. Abaye argues with Rabbi Yosef and says, k'detoim bar b'rav, somebody who's going to the Beis HaMedrash in the morning and he's afraid that the shir is going to go on longer than he'll be comfortable without eating something, and therefore he takes a mouthful before leaving to the Beis HaMedrash and he drinks, and that is v'ayil l'kalo, and then he goes to learn in the Beis HaMedrash, and that is called an achilas arei. So Abaye says, not like Rav Yosef, who says that it's three sizes of an egg, rather it's one size of an egg, one mouthful, that's called achilas arei. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, oichlin achilas arei chutz l'sukkah. As we just saw, it says in the Mishnah, a person is allowed to eat in a temporary type of eating outside the sukkah. But you're not allowed to sleep, a temporary type of sleeping. We'll soon see what that means. But there's a dozing off, which might be called a temporary type of sleeping. And then there's falling into a deep sleep, which is a more permanent, a more fixed type of sleeping. So, ein yeshenim shinas arei chutz l'sukkah, you're not allowed to sleep outside the sukkah, even if it's just dozing off. My tama, why would that be true? Omer Ravashi gzeira shemo yirodim, because it's a gzeira that his sleep may overtake him, and he's going to sleep a proper sleep, and that's certainly osa outside the sukkah. Omer le'abaye, Abaye said to Ravashi, Elohad etanyo, did we not learn in a braisa, yoshan odom shinas arei bitfilin? Did we not learn in a braisa that even though one's not allowed to sleep, fall asleep into a proper deep sleep with tefillin on, because he may pass some wind and that's inappropriate when wearing tefillin. However, a shinas arai, a temporary type of dozing off, he's allowed to do even whilst wearing tefillin. And we're not concerned that sleep is going to overtake him and he's going to fall into a deep sleep. So Abaye is asking Ravashi, why regarding sukkah are we afraid that shinas arai is also because of shinas kva? Why is that different to tefillin? Leicha shemo yirodim. Why by tefillin are we not afraid that a deep sleep is going to overtake him? Omer Rav Yosef Breider Rav Eloi. Rav Yosef Breider Rav Eloi is saying that over there, in the case of the tefillin, the reason that it's permitted is because b'moisa shinosu l'achirim, he asks his friend to watch him and say, if you see that I'm falling into a deep sleep, wake me up, make sure that I don't fall into a deep sleep. In that case, there's no concern, and it's mutter. Maskiflor of Masharshia. Rav Masharshia said to Rav Yosef Breider Rav Eloi, Arveich Arva Tzorich. Your guarantor, this friend of yours who's watching you that you shouldn't fall asleep, well, who's watching him? Maybe he's going to lie down and fall asleep, and then he won't be worth much to protect you from not falling into deep sleep. And how can that work? Ella Omer Rabbi Bar Barchona Omer Rabbi Yechonon. It was said in the name of Rabbi Yechonon, when is it muta to going to sleep, a shinas arai, a temporary type of dozing off with tefillin on, is talking about b'maniach roshei bein birkov, when he just puts his head between his knees or skin on, that's what it's talking about, and in that case, a deep sleep will certainly not overcome him. Rava Omer, Rava explains, ein keva l'sheino. He says, we're not worried that if you're going to just doze off and take a little nap, that you're going to fall into a deep sleep. That's not the issue. The issue is that ein keva means there's no such thing as more permanent, less permanent. I mean, there is such a thing, we'll soon see. But some people, it's enough for them just to doze off. For other people, they need a good, long, deep sleep. So when it comes to Hilchos Sukkah, whatever's good enough for you, as much sleep as you need, that's as much sleep that you need to do in the sukkah. And therefore, there's no difference between Shenis Arai, Shenis Kva. If it's good for you, if it works for you, you need to do it in the sukkah. But when it comes to tefillin, where it's not about sleeping, the issa is not sleeping, the issa is just that you not have to make sure your body is clean and you're not going to pass any gas. And in that case, only a Shenis Keva, when a person's in a deep sleep, he's at risk of passing gas and not being aware of it. But when he's in a temporary sleep, he's just dozed off a little bit, in that case a person would not typically pass gas, and therefore and therefore by tefillin there's no issue. Continues the Gemara. Toni Chode, in one brisa we learned, Yoshan Odom betfillin, a person is allowed to sleep in tefillin, Shenes Arai, if it's a temporary type of sleep, just dozing off, Avaloi Shenes Keva. But Shenes Keva, a more permanent, a deep sleep, that he's not allowed to do with his tefillin on. The Tanya Idoch, in another brisa we learned, Bein Keva, Bein Arai. You're allowed to sleep in sukkah, not only, you're allowed to sleep in tefillin, not only a temporary sleeping, but also a more fixed one, a keva. V'tani idoch, and yet a third brisa we learned, loy keva v'loy arai. You're not allowed to sleep in tefillin, not shenas keva, and not even shenas arai. How are we going to reconcile these three brisas? Loy kasha, says the Gemara, we'll explain as follows. If he's holding the tefillin in his hands, he's not wearing them on his head and on his arm, he's holding them in his hand, then you cannot sleep at all, even just dozing off, because they might fall out of your hand and drop down, chas v'shalom. But the tefillin that he's got on his head, he's wearing the tefillin. If he's wearing the tefillin, then shenes arai is allowed, because there's no chashash of shemo nafiach. He's not going to pass any wind, and therefore it's okay. But in more deep sleep, that will be asa. Hod poris sudra ilave, and when the case where the brisa says that you're allowed to sleep, even Shenas Keva, is talking about that he's not wearing them, he's placed them next to his head, next to where he's sleeping, and therefore, since he's not wearing the tefillin, then he's allowed to sleep, even a very deep sleep, next to his tefillin. Continues the Gemara. V'kamo Shenas Arai. What is considered, how long is considered a Shenas Arai? Says the Gemara, Toni Rama Bar Cheskel Kedei Hiluch Me'a Amo. If you sleep long enough that it's the time it takes to walk 100 amos, that's called a Shenas Kva. That is the type of Shena which, as we've discussed here, could be an issue with, and we saw that in Sukkah there's no difference, it's Osa, even Shenas Arai, but with Tefillin, in certain circumstances, it's Mutter, Shenas Arai, it's if he's sleeping up to that amount of time. Taninam Yahachi, we learnt similarly in a Braisa, Hayoshon betfillin, Veroya Keri, if somebody is sleeping in his Tefillin, and he realizes that he's become Thomas Keri, Oichos Beretzua, then he should hold the straps of the Tefillin, even before he's cleaned himself, even whilst the tumah is still on his body, he should remove the tefillin, oiches beretzua, he should remove the tefillin by holding the straps, ve'ena oiches b'ktzitza, but he should not take hold of the boxes of the tefillin, the bottom of the tefillin themselves. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov, that was the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. V'chachomim oimrim, the chachomim say, yoshan odom betfillin shinas arai, Avaloi Shinas Keva. You're allowed to sleep in tefillin Shinas Arai, as we saw before, but not Shinas Keva. V'kamo Shinas Arai. What's considered Shinas Arai? Kedei Hiluch Me'o Amo. As long as it takes to walk 100 Amos. And this is the Braisa that was proving what we said before, that what we saw from Rami Bar Yecheskel, that the time it takes to walk 100 Amos, that's considered a Shinas Keva. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rav. Osur la'odom lishon b'yoyim yoysa mishinas asus. It's not advisable for a person to sleep during the day for longer than the amount of time that a horse sleeps. And Rashi says, because of bittul Torah, during the day you should try and use as much time as possible to sit and learn Torah. V'kamo shein asus. How long does a horse sleep for? Shitin nishmi. 60 breaths. Omar Abaye. Abaya said, Shinsei Demar, the amount of sleep that Rabbi Bar Nachmeni slept was Kedarav, was the same amount that Rav used to sleep. And that's how much that Rav used to sleep during the day. V'Rav, how much did Rav sleep during the day? Karebi, he learned from Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rav grew up with Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and he would sleep during the day, the amount of time that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would sleep during the day. V'Uderebi, how long would Rabbeinu HaKodesh, would Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, how long would he sleep every day? Kedavid, he had a tradition from his parents, that from his ancestors, that the amount that David HaMelech would sleep was David kudesusia, David would sleep the amount of time that a horse sleeps, or desusia shita nishmi, and a horse sleeps 60 breaths. That is how much Rav and Rebbe and David HaMelech and Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, that's how much they would sleep in the day, not more. Continues the Gemara, Abaya have a naim, Abaya would sleep during the day, k'dema'ayel mipumpadisa lebeikuvei, the amount of time it takes to go to walk from Pumpadisa to a place called Beikuvei, which is 60 parasa. Kori alei Rav Yosef, when Rav Yosef realized that Abaya was sleeping that long, he would say on him this posuk, a posuk in Mishli, Ad Mosai Otzel Tishkov, how long are you Otzel, a lazy person, going to be sleeping? Mosai Tokum Mishnosecho, when are you going to stand up from your slumber, from your sleep? Continues the Gemara Tonu Rabbonon, Hanichnas Lishon Bayim, if somebody wants to go to rest, go to sleep during the day, and he's not. Rotzo Choylitz, if he wants, he can remove his tefillin. Rotzo Maniach, if he wants, he can leave his tefillin on, because it's not common practice during the day to sleep a deep sleep, and it's also not common to have marital relations during the day, which is something one should not do with one's tefillin on, and therefore there's no issue. Balailo, however, if he wants to go and rest at night, Choylitz, he should take off his tefillin ve'inu maniach and should not leave them on, even if he only wants to go for a shinas arai, because maybe he'll change his mind and he'll want to have a proper deep sleep. Divi Reb Nosson, that's the opinion of Reb Nosson. Reb Yosi Omer, Reb Yosi says, Hayelodim, which is the bochrim, the teenagers, the youngsters, la'olam chelzin, even during the day, they should remove their tefillin, ve'einon manichin, and not leave the tefillin on them when they're resting, b'pnei sheragilim betumah, because it's common that, because of their thoughts sometimes wander, it's common that they should see tumas keri, and that is inappropriate when with tefillin on. Le'ima kasova Rabbi Yosi, are you suggesting, asks the Gemara, that Rabbi Yosi holds, and we know that in most cases the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. So are you suggesting that Rabbi Yosi says, Bal keri also laniach tefillin, that somebody who was tomei from Tumas Keri, he's not allowed to put on tefillin? Omar Abaya. Abaya said, no. Abaya said, Be Yelodim, when Rabbi Yosi says that Yelodim la'olam chiltzin, it's not talking about that it's regular single youngsters, and we're afraid of Balkeri, because a Balkeri is allowed to wear tefillin. Rather, we're talking about Bialodim, youngsters, Unushoseem Imoem, they were married, and their wives are with them, Oskinon, that's what we're talking about, Shema Yavoyu Lidei Hergul Dovar. And the reason is not because maybe they'll become Tumas Keri. The reason is because maybe they will be frivolous and light-headed with their wives, something that's inappropriate with tefillin on. Tonu Rabbonon, Shochach v'shimesh mitose b'tfilin, if somebody forgot he was wearing tefillin and he had marital relations whilst wearing tefillin, einay oichaz loy b'ratzua v'loy b'ktzitza, he should not remove the tefillin, not via the straps and not via the boxes themselves, the button themselves, achi yitay liyodov, before washing his hands, and only then v'yitloim he should remove the tefillin, b'pnei shiudayim askoni, saying we have a rule that the hands are very active, and it could well be that his hands touched places that were not clean, and therefore, first and foremost, wash his hands, and then he should remove his tefillin. Says the next Mishnah, Maisa, there was an incident, ve'eviu lo'ilu Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, they brought for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, lit'oim, just to taste, es hatavshil, the cooked foods, the cooked dish, ulu Rabbi Gamliel, and they brought to Rabbi Gamliel, shnei koisvois, two dates, Udli shel maim and a bucket of water. Va'omru and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel, they said, "Ha'elum l'sukkah, it's sukkahs. Take it up to the sukkah. We'll taste it there. We'll eat it there." U'kishenosnu lo'il Reb Tzodik, when they gave Reb Tzodik to eat, oichel pochis mikabeitza, he would eat less than an egg size volume of food, of bread. Not libemapa, he would take it with a cloth. I mean, just because of Nikias, for cleanliness, he didn't want to touch the food with his hands, but he did not go and wash Natilas Yudaim. V'ochlei chutz l'sukkah, and he even ate it outside the sukkah. V'loi birich achrov, even though he certainly made the bracha before eating, but since he ate less than a kabeitza, he did not make birchas hamazon after it, because he holds like a Yehuda, who says that you only chayev birchas hamazon when you've eaten kedei sevia, which is the measure of a kebetza. Says the Gemara, my solicitor, there seems to be a contradiction. In the Mishnah we learned on Daf, earlier on Daf Chofei Amud Aleph, it says there, that you're allowed to eat or drink a very temporary type of eating outside the sukkah. So tasting, to taste some food is certainly called arai. And here in our Mishnah, the next Mishnah, Chavav Amud Beis, Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai, he didn't want to taste some of the cooked dish outside the sukkah. He said, helom l'sukkah. Seems to be a contradiction. Says the Gemara, Chisure Mechzer of Hochiktoni. The Mishnah means to say as follows, that as a continuation from the previous Mishnah, Me'ikar Adin, according to the letter of the law, Oichel Achilas Arai Chutz L'Sukkah. Imbo Lahachmir Al Atzmo, if he wants to be stringent on himself and be Machmir, Machmir, you're allowed to, V'les Be'im Shom Yuaro, there's no issue of being haughty. It's a virtue, it's good not to eat or drink even Arai outside the Sukkah. Or my tsunami, and that's what the incident in this mission is proving. So this Mishnah is consequent to those extra words we add in, that there's a virtue to eat outside the sukkah, to eat in the sukkah, even an achilas arai. Asks the Gemara, that this the Reb Tzadok, he ate less than a kebetza outside the sukkah. Whole kebetza, it seems from the Mishnah, that had Reb Tzadok been given a whole kebetza by a sukkah, then he would have eaten in the sukkah. This seems to contradict what we saw in Daf Chavav Amud Aleph. The Rav Yosef says that even three beitzim, three mouthfuls, is still considered arai, you do not need to be in the sukkah. And Abaya says one mouthful, one kebetza, is still called arai, and you do not need to eat it in the sukkah. And here we have Reb Tzadok, who says, less than a kebetza I'll eat outside the sukkah, a kebetza I'll eat in the sukkah. Answers the Gemara, that what Reb Tzadok meant, what the Mishnah meant was, that when they gave him less than a kebetza, then he didn't wash Netilas Yadayim, he ate outside the sukkah, and he didn't say Birchas HaMazon. But had it been a full kebetza, he may well have still eaten it outside the sukkah. But had it been a kebetza, he would have had to wash his hands before, and he would have said Birchas HaMazon afterwards. Dilma pochis mi kebetza, netila o bracha loy boya. It's only regarding the Tilas Yadayim and Birchas HaMazon that you don't need if it's less than a kebetza. Ha kebetza, but if it's a kebetza, boya netila or bracha, then you need the Tilas Yadayim and Birchas HaMazon. However, regarding sukkah, it could well be that even if you have a kebetza, you would not need a sukkah, according to Abaya. And according to Yosef, even if you have three beitzim, he would not need a sukkah. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.